It's time for Newman Guide News. Yay! Every week here and this time on Catholic Connection, 1028 Eastern Time. We're going to talk about news in education, and more specifically from our friends at the Newman Guide, the Cardinal Newman Society. Kelly Solomon is the VP of Newman Guide Programs of the Cardinal Newman Society. Kelly, good morning. Great to have you on the program every week now. This is exciting.
Good morning, Teresa. I'm very excited about this new segment and chatting with you about the latest happening in Catholic education and what Catholic parents should be aware of.
You guys do such a great job, not only keeping us up to date on the issues of education, you know, from K through 12 through college, and how kids are being impacted in so many different ways, and what's available, the great resources that are available for Catholic believers, especially those who are concerned about their children's education, how bad the world is getting out there. And one of the things you do is you direct us to really good resources. So, for example, I know we're going to talk about two subjects today. First, I want to talk about the Newman Guide, the Catholic Reader's Guide, which is really great, which is an ebook that's available through you. And then secondly, we'll talk about this new measure in California where lawmakers are warning Democrats yet again of consequences for not protecting girls' sports from boys and men who want to take part. But first, let's talk about this problem that's coming up with these other, you know, book fairs and book clubs that we've been exposed to for so many years, especially Scholastic Books, which is a large children's publishing house selling to students in schools. They have a new collection of books, and I want to thank my associate producer, Deb, for sending this to me, purveying sexual content, critical race theory, and gender ideology. And even some Catholic schools, unfortunately, are embracing this. So tell us about this. What's happening here?
Yeah, so this has been an issue in Catholic education for a long time, that as Catholic educators, our mission is different than our secular counterparts, and everything we do in a Catholic school should support the mission of authentic Catholic education. We should not be replicating the literature findings in secular schools, but we can be exposing students to the most enduring, timeless, wonderful pieces of literature that will build up their Catholic imagination. So here at the Cardinal Newman Society, Teresa, I'm so glad you ran across our guide for the Catholic reader. As you mentioned, it's a free ebook on our website, and this walks parents and educators through what to look for in good literature and where to find it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's quite, I mean, even though it's an ebook, it's easy to download, but it's extensive in the sense that it really gives you a good outline of what's available.
Yes. So we walk through what are the principles that should guide an educator or a parent's choice of literature, right? That we're not just looking for Scholastic's latest or what books might be popular or what kids are attracted to, that actually through the mission of Catholic education, we have the opportunity to expose students to truth, beauty, and goodness, to choose literature that shares the insights of the Catholic understanding of the human person, helps students better understand the relationship to God, family, and others, and builds up that right ordering of the intellect and their will and their imagination. So that's the beginning of the ebook, as we walk through what principles should guide your choices. Then we actually have a rubric where parents and educators could look at a specific piece of literature and say, well, does this deserve a 1-star or a 5-star? Is this the best? Or, you know, does it fall somewhere in between? And it gives specific points to consider in that particular book. And then my favorite part, which I think is the favorite part of a lot of parents and grandparents, is our actual suggested reading list. And we divide it up in different age categories of, you know, what great books can we expose our young people to? And I know for myself as a mom that reading these timeless pieces of literature with my kids is one of my very favorite things to do. And the more you expose them these great timeless pieces of literature, the more they crave it and the more they want you to just keep reading chapter after chapter and not turn out the lights at the end of the night, right?
Yeah. So you've got these lists in these different categories. You've got grades K through 4, fiction, general grades, K through 4 titles, and you go through a number of different books. What are you seeing out there right now as a mom that's troubling you with some of the fiction that's available? For example,
you know, I've started even avoiding going to the library, and I'm so grateful that our local Catholic school does not use any secular book fairs. They curate their library based on the mission of Catholic education, and so students have the opportunity to choose from great selections of literature in the library. And I think, you know, it's such these formative young ages. There are so many great books to expose young people to that we don't need to give in to the whims of the day, the book that hits the top seller for a few months and then fades out of existence. You know, we have the timeless pieces of literature. I just finished reading Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the first book with two of my boys, and they loved it. And these timeless messages that are conveyed through C.S. Lewis's great story. There's Little House on the Prairie and Farmer Boy, Anna Green Gables, Make Way for Ducklings, Blueberries for Sal. In addition to all of these great, fun books, there's also a list of poets and spiritual classics and nonfiction that we recommend in our guide for the Catholic reader as well.
I'm looking at it. It's a great variety. And by the way, if you're just joining us here on a Tuesday morning, having a great conversation with Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society, and she's going to be joining us every week on Tuesdays to talk about Catholic education and different issues impacting it. So you've got several of my favorites on here. Lilies of the Field, which was made into a movie, starring Sidney Poitier. Did you see the movie?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful? You're going to build me a chapel. I love that movie. And then, of course, Little Women, Little Men. Gosh, let's see. Oh, and here's one. I love the fact that you have both Catholic and secular books, but one of my favorite books out there, I recommend this all the time, Lewis DeWall's Lay Siege to Heaven, about Catherine of Siena. I love that book. Mm. I've read it like five times.
I haven't read that one, so I'll have to add that one to my list.
You have to read it, because he's such a great historian, so he takes you into the life of the saint in the time and in the place. And I love St. Catherine. She's one of my favorites. And having been to Siena and been all over in terms of where she is, whether it's in Rome or in Siena, you know, she has relics in Rome and then also in Siena. But her life, it's just so well written. It takes you right back to her time in Italy, in Siena. Beautifully written book, Lay Siege to Heaven, but Lilies of the Field, Little Men, Little Women. Oh my gosh, there's so many great ones in here. And I love this because you have both Catholic and secular publications. Old Yeller is in here, Oliver Twist, Our Town, really good.
Yep, exactly. So the Catholic imagination can be built up through a variety of different means, but choosing these timeless pieces of literature that explore virtues and vices from a good lens, right, that don't include shocking scenes or profanity that is going to, you know, impact young people at particular ages, right? Choosing age-appropriate literature for our young people. And yes, it gets me excited. These books are the ones that you want to read over and over and over again. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read Little Women, Anna Green Gables, and they just draw you right back to them. And, you know, looking ahead at Easter and summer reading, you know, Catholic parents, take a look at our guide for the Catholic reader and have some of these selections available for your young people to build up their love for great Catholic and great literature overall.
What's really cool too is, as we were mentioning, for example, at Lilies of the Field, many of these timeless classics have been made into really good old, now they're old movies, but they're really fun to watch, and it'd be a great family experience to maybe find them on YouTube or look them up and see if you can bring some of these films to your home in addition to maybe after reading the book. More with Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society on a Tuesday. Newman News every week now here on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned. Appreciate you. We're so happy you're listening to Catholic Connection, an EWTN production, the second hour here on EWTN Radio Extra, as well as on the app. And every Tuesday, it's Newman Guide News with our friend Kelly Solomon from the wonderful Cardinal Newman Society, and she's the Vice President of Newman Guide Programs. And many of you may know Kelly because she's been a regular guest on this program, and she contributes a great deal, obviously, to her wonderful organization, the Cardinal Newman Society. But she was also an athlete who was actually very successful. And so this whole topic of men in women's sports and boys who want to identify as girls so they can play in women's sports is near and dear to her heart. And Kelly, we were chatting online yesterday in preparation for our segment today. There's this measure now in California where a California lawmaker is warning Democrats there of the great consequences for not protecting girls' sports from trans athletes. This must mean an awful lot to you, not only because of your work now, but as a mom and also obviously with the Newman Guide, with the Cardinal Newman Society, but also just as someone who played sports, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, I was as I mentioned to you, Teresa, I was a Division I tennis player in college,
wow.
as my husband was as well. And we saw firsthand that there are obvious differences between men and women. John Paul II speaks so eloquently about this in his writings, right, on theology of the body and how men and women are different but complementary, that there is an inherent beauty in who we are called as a man or as a woman, but there are differences. And to me, this issue really goes back to common sense that biological men should not be allowed to play in women's sports. And the Cardinal Newman Society has put together a whole document on the formation of the human person in Catholic school and college sports. And this is one of the topics we hit on in that document, is that we say biological men should not play in women's sports and vice versa because of safety, fair play, justice. And I would add common sense.
It is common sense. And you know what's so interesting about this is those politicians or people that are supporting this insanity, this is like a 90-10, 80-20 issue. And we're talking across the board politically. So it just seems like, why do you think they're dying on this hill? I mean, in some cases, literally, if you look at the polls, right?
Right. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yes. I mean, this has been an issue in tennis, you know, that's been debated for a long time. There was the Battle of the Sexes back with Billie Jean King years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was John McEnroe's comment a couple of years ago about where Serena Williams would fall in men's tennis, right? And I think he was right. I mean, if you look at the average men's tennis player, his fastest serve speed is 160 miles per hour. And the fastest a woman has ever hit a serve is 130 miles per hour. There is just an obvious disparity between the sexes, and to protect women's sports, we need to uphold this truth and this reality. And that's what the Cardinal Newman Society is all about, is upholding truth and that deep Catholic understanding of the human person that is sadly just lost in secular culture today. Without these guiding principles of who is a man and who is a woman, there's some confusion and a loss of sanity about an issue like this.
So what can we do as Catholics to raise awareness about this? Because this seems to be a topic that definitely, as we've been discussing over the last several months leading up to the election, this is something that crosses over. I mean, it's not necessarily a quote-unquote religious. It is for us, obviously, because of the dignity of the human person, creating the image and likeness of God, male and female. But as I said, most people get this. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Physically, right. We are different. I mean, there's just a story. I'm trying to find it, and you would really appreciate this. I read this in the news yesterday. There's a story out there, and this is the disconnect with the secular media. This drives me absolutely nuts. They do this big story. It's all over this one wire service that we use and several others. It's a study about women and their addictive habits when it comes to cell phones, smartphones, and social media, that the way women are built, we're built differently, so it affects us more. We're like, wait a minute. I didn't think there was any difference.
The difference, right. Well,
right?
They use it when they want to, and then they take it away when they don't want to, right?
But it's so disingenuous and really not fair when you're saying in one area, as you just said, it's okay. In other areas, it's not. We're different in one area, but we're not different in others.
Right, right. And I think for us as Catholics, that we need to make sure that our Catholic schools and colleges get this and that they're upholding it. And really, the whole point, there's a bigger point about sports, I think, that needs to be made of, you know, we have fair playing fields for men and for women because sports are important. Sports are about the formation of the human person in virtue and the integral development of that person. And I've seen when sports are done well, it helps young people grow in virtue. It helps them build up perseverance and dedication and selflessness and love. And Newman Guide schools and colleges have policies in place on keeping men out of women's sports. And they also are proactive in really providing this authentic Catholic view of sports. And I've got some great examples of what they're doing in sport, but it's just different than what we see in the secular culture, where sport has become distorted, where families are missing mass on Sunday over sports, right, where there is the winning at as the ultimate prize. It doesn't matter what you have to do to get there, what cheating, what lying you have to do, right? But there's some great Newman Guide examples of what these places are doing that are treating sports properly understood.
Can you share one or two of those with us if you have time?
Sure. So the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, is led by Monsignor Shea. You know, you know him, Teresa. And
yep.
They have a whole greatness through virtue plan that they've enacted at the university. And what they do is every student athlete on campus actually takes a one-credit academic course every year that they are a student athlete. And this academic course helps them integrate their sport with the rest of their life. It asks them questions like, what is your identity? What are you made for? What role does sport play in your life? You know, what is God calling you to? And they explore this from an academic lens for 4 years in college while also competing on their teams and being formed by their coaches. And I just think that's wonderful. And they're setting an awesome example with what they're doing with their formation of their student athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Another great example is Belmont Abbey College in Belmont, North Carolina. The
Love them. Amazing school.
Yes. Yeah. Dr. Thierfelder, as your listeners might know, is a former Olympian. So this is a topic that's near and dear to his heart. He's also been outspoken about keeping biological men out of women's sports. So bravo. Thank you, Dr. Thierfelder. He has a policy on campus where pretty much sports are not able to play on Sundays and encourages the development of excellence and virtue with the formation of his coaches, really emphasizing coach formation, which then translates into impacting those on these various teams on campus.
I found the study, Kelly. I have to read this to you because you're going to so appreciate this as someone who was in sports for a long time, and also what you just read, those excellent examples. Young females more vulnerable to social anxiety from smartphone dependence. Now think about this, brothers and sisters who are listening to me and to Kelly this morning, how the world wants us to think that one day you could be a man, one day you could be a woman. If you feel like a girl, even though you're a boy, or if you feel like a boy, even though you're a girl, it doesn't matter. It's changeable. There really is no difference, okay? Well, then, why this? A new study, and this just came out yesterday, presented at the European Psychiatric Association Congress of 2025, reveals that gender plays a significant role in excessive and problematic psychological or behavioral dependence on smartphone use, with young females more likely to experience higher social anxiety than other genders. In the study, it was also found that gender was significantly linked to the amount of time spent using smartphones and the fear of being judged negatively by others online. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details, but it's obvious that the way we are built emotionally, Kelly, as women, has an impact, right?
Yes.
I mean, how can they sit there and say it doesn't matter? They go through this list. Gender accounts for significant differences in the mediating factors. Young females experience higher fear of negative perception online. Gender is significantly related to time spent with smartphones, blah, blah, blah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, to me, it is, we need to take a look at this. And when this comes up, where people sit there and talk about these issues, and this is why your resources at the Cardinal Newman Society are so helpful. This is the reality of the situation. We could give this study, for example, without getting into a heavy discussion on religion, right? Because it's common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. That there are non-religious groundings for men and women being different, and that our sex and our identity should not be separated, but should be seen in unity with God's plan for our life. And, you know, this framework needs to guide Catholic schools and colleges, and, you know, they should see what's going on with these issues, like the High School Sports Association out in California that doesn't seem to be complying with Trump's order about biological men getting out of women's sports. They should see this and say, you know, we need to teach our students the truth. They need to be a light to the world, and we need to form them so that they understand these issues and can go out and be Catholic witnesses after their graduation.
Do you think with the administration of those you just mentioned, there are people who are ignoring these mandates from Trump and his team. Do you think it's bringing this out in the open more and people are starting to realize and feeling more free to speak out about it? Because as I mentioned, this is a 90-10, 80-20 issue. People across the board, wherever they stand politically, even if they're not religious, think it's ridiculous that men are taking part in women's sports.
Yes, definitely. And I think that, you know, people are seeing this as a reprieve that we can, you know, share these common sense beliefs without fear of retaliation right now. And so we need to use this time to make gains and go even further, you know, with a common sense approach and with upholding the belief, Catholic beliefs about the person.
Yeah, I mean, this is just so important, and I'm just so excited about the resources that you provide for us because they're super helpful. So what are you working on for the rest of the year? I know summer is right around the corner, and there's some cool projects and places for kids to go. What's coming up for the Cardinal Newman Society?
Yes, well, just around the corner is Catholic College commencement, and you know that's always a big topic because we like to see, you know, where Catholic College's priorities are and who they choose to honor, who they choose as their commencement speaker. So we'll have a roundup article here for you shortly, Teresa, to take a look at where Catholic colleges stand with their commencement speaker choices.
Okay. Can you give us like a little tease, as we say, in the news business? Is there anything that's particularly interesting, a particular college that's raising eyebrows?
Let's see. Well, I know that everyone is interested to see who Benedictine College will be honoring in the Newman Guide after last year. They faced a lot of heat for inviting in Harrison Bucker, a faithful Catholic, to speak to their student body. Let's see. And I think there'll be some really outstanding choices at Newman Guide colleges. And we'll be taking a close look soon and even putting together an ebook with some of their speeches, because some of these people just say some amazing things and inspiring words that are great to be shared even beyond commencement season about, you know, what living a Catholic life is all about after this great Catholic intellectual formation these young people have received.
I know Jonathan Rumi has done some commencement talks.
Yes.
I would love to see, my husband and I saw another commercial with Mark Wahlberg yesterday, which was beautiful for Hallow. I would love to see him speaking at some of these Catholic colleges, openly praying on a secular network, you know, promoting Hallow. Good stuff. Great segment, Kelly. Look forward to chatting with you every week, God willing. Our Newman News with Kelly Solomon, the VP of the Newman Guide Programs of the Cardinal Newman Society. We'll be right back on a Tuesday.